Hallelujah. Now, those of you who are sitting there in stark fear that I'm going to preach a full message, relax. It's going to be all right. Go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the kids. I'm not going to be as long as I normally am. I'm not going to keep you that long. I believe the Holy Spirit's done a lot of awesome, wonderful things already. And I can't really build too much on what he does. Amen. But I do want to share this with you because I just want you to know how good the Holy Spirit is. I was in here last night, and yesterday afternoon, and I honestly had no idea what to share. Had no idea. And I just came out here, and I just began to walk, and I just began to pray, and just began to worship God and tell him how much we want the Holy Spirit just to move in this church. And then finally he dropped something in my spirit, and I'm like, okay, all right, Lord. And I remember that he had mentioned to me back in January to be speaking on what I'm going to be speaking on, what I'm going to start speaking on today. I'm not going to keep you real long. And I just kept waiting for the right time. And for those of you who are wondering whatever happened to the blessed Living the Blessed Life series, we'll get to it, you know, at the right time. I started it like, 2 weeks ago? And then but I feel like this is what the Holy Spirit wants right now. So we'll get back to the Blessed series at some point. But how many know it's more important to be led by him than to be led by, like as Miss Carolyn was sharing, it's so much better when you just follow what he wants to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I know that the Blessed series is an awesome series, but we want that when the Holy Spirit wants it. So, and I feel impressed to do this, and so that's what we're going to do. The name of the new series is, this is what the Lord gave me last night. This was so awesome. The name of the new series is Knowing God. Knowing God. And I'll show you why. Over in Daniel chapter 11, and I'm going to read this out of the New King James. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, it says, "But the people who know their God will be strong and will do great exploits for him." The people who know their God. This is some of the things the Lord's highlighted to me throughout this year, you know, because as most of you in here know, the Lord gave us a word for this church this year, 2021. It is the year of signs, wonders, seeing and experiencing signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, how many know you can't do that without knowing him? You can't do that without knowing him. And here in Daniel, it says, those that know their God, here's the beautiful part. Are you ready? See, all you got to do is just get to know him. You're not responsible for the great exploits. Those that know their God, watch this, will be strong. You get to know him and you will be strong. It's not those that know God have an opportunity to be strong. No, you get to know God. You get to know what's on his heart. You get to know what he desires. You get to know him, and you will be strong. Oh, and by the way, and you will do great exploits. Sometimes I think we have to fabricate the great exploits. We got to show people that we're strong. No, all you got to do is get to know God. You don't even have to go out and toot your own horn that, "Man, I know God. I know God." No, you just get to know God, and it'll be obvious because you will be strong. And you will do great exploits for him. Amen? How many know that's wonderful? Knowing him, this is what we're going to start talking about today, but we're going to finish it up next week, is this one installment. I'm not finished with the series next week. But knowing him through fellowship. Why did I even bother to share that with you this morning? Why didn't I just say, you know, everything's done, it's been done? I wanted you to know what the Holy Spirit's doing. See, the Holy Spirit, and my wife had no idea what I was speaking on this morning. Carolyn had no idea what I was speaking on this morning. Nobody. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even know until last night. You know, but it goes to show you the Holy Spirit's doing something. He's taking us somewhere. And I've told you this many, many times. When the Lord puts us on a series, it's not that I'm just looking through this category of topics and go, oh, let's talk about that. Oh, it's that one. Okay. No. We pray and we ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want said? And what makes that exciting for me is that when he gets us on a series, that's because he's preparing us for something. He's preparing us for something. And it's glorious, and it's powerful, and it's wonderful. Amen? Hallelujah. But he says, those people, but the people who know their God will be strong and will carry out great exploits. That sounds like signs, wonders, and miracles to me. Amen? Now, I've told you before, signs, wonders, and miracles are not always, spectacular. Not all signs, wonders, and miracles are spectacular, but I believe God does want to do some pretty spectacular things too. You know, the Bible does say that, you know, he talks about suddenlies. I mean, everything's not always a suddenly, but how many love the suddenlies? How many love it when God just does something like, bam, yep, just to show you that I'm still God? You know, we love those, don't we? Real quickly, though, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Those that know their God will be strong. Those that know their God. So we're going to be talking about how to get to know God. In this series, we're going to be talking about what that looks like and what God's desire is for you. And he makes it pretty clear out there in Daniel, but we're going to be talking about these things and what some of those things can look like for you. Amen? And for us as a church. Hallelujah. I'm just going to touch on this, and I think we're going to call it good for today, and I'll get into the rest of it next week. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for changing hearts, touching lives today. Help us to always be aware of you. Help us to always be aware of you, even in the craziest places. Help us to always be aware that you're there. In Jesus' name. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is everywhere? No. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is everywhere? He's in the bar. He's in the crack house. He's in the meth labs. Somebody's looking at me like I'm just... Not that he's for it. I'm not saying that they were anointed to do that. But I'm saying that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Did you know that is the thing that makes hell, hell? Is the absolute absence of the Spirit of God. You and I have never experienced that. In your darkest hour, the Holy Spirit was still there. In your toughest moment, the Holy Spirit, as hard as it may have been, and you may have felt like it was a godless place, you may have felt like God abandoned you, I tell you, no, you've never ever experienced the absolute abandonment of God. That's what's going to make hell for people. Hell is because they will, it's not the flames that the Bible talks about. It's not the absolute darkness. It's not the eternal falling. It's not any of the things that the Bible describes hell to be. I mean, those things are going to be there for sure. But the thing that makes hell so much hell is the absolute absence. Man, if God pulled his spirit from this earth in its entirety, all good is gone. Because God is good. There is nothing good about the devil. And for him to have full reign because the Spirit of God being completely extracted from the earth, I don't want to be here. Not for a second. Because it's not just about the things that could happen to you. It's about being in a place where you cannot even sense any of God at all. That's why I love Jesus. And he's going to get us out of here. Amen. But anyways, but I just wanted to remind you that that's why the Holy Spirit is so important. That's why the Holy Spirit is so very important. Amen. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll start wrapping this thing up for today. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in it's only one verse, 12. Look at verse 12. You know, this is talking about, now Paul, he's in prison, right? Verse 11 says, "And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher for this good news." So Paul is preaching the gospel, man. He's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. God, 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 God. That's his life. God. God was his life. Is God your life? He should be, and I want him to be more of my life each and every day. Amen. I just want my life. I want to be what Brother Hagin used to call God inside minded. I want it to be all about God. All about God. God in everything that I do. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I think it's a song or something that says, "This world has nothing for me." This world has nothing for me. Now, I'm not talking about being unfunctionable. You still got to go to work, still got to go to school, still got to do this, still got to deal with business, and got businesses to run and things like that. So I'm not talking about Brent's not going to go up to his next customer and just talk about Jesus all day. He's going to talk about plumbing because that's his job, right? That's a company he owns. That's what he does. But having God in every part of your day, just consumed with God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it says here, look at this verse. He says, so he's sitting here, he's preaching the gospel, and then he says in verse 12, "That is why I am suffering here in prison for preaching the gospel." You're like, man, well, that's not a very good message. Watch this. He says, "I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one." I know the one. I know the one in whom I trust. I know the one. See, we're going to talk a lot about that word knowing, because a lot of people are acquainted with God. Right? Did you know you can be in a relationship with someone and not know them? You can be in relate. You can have friends that you're friends with, but they don't know you. You don't know them. You can be in relationship with God and not truly know him. How many people do you think have given their life to Christ? He's their Lord, he's their Savior, but they don't know him as a healer. But is God a healer? But they don't know him as a healer. How many people do you think they've given their life to Christ, so they're part of the family of God, they're on their way to heaven, and you know how many people have actually left this earth and went on to be with the Lord, but they didn't know God as a healer, they didn't know God as a provider, they didn't know God as a protector, they didn't know God as peace, as joy. They had a relationship with God, so they're going to go to heaven. They're in heaven. But the Bible says those that know their God we'll be strong and we'll do great exploits for him. Amen. Isn't that good? He says, I'm not ashamed of where I'm at. I'm not ashamed of being in prison because I'm preaching the gospel. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Are there some things in your life that you have yet to entrust to him? If you haven't entrusted it, Brent was talking about even with the offering. It's like when we take up offerings because that's our way of showing God that we trust him. See? If you have a problem with tithes and offerings, that's because you don't know God very well in that area. And it's actually in my notes. I'm going to talk about it next week. You can have faith in one area, but not you completely trust God in one area, but you don't trust him in another area. That's only because you don't know him that way. See, if I only knew Brent as a plumber, then I'm going to be like, I got a problem with my plumbing. He's going to be, okay, I'll come fix it. I completely trust him to do it. But if I called him up and said, you know, I'm having problems with my engine in my car, I don't know him as a mechanic. Now, I don't know. He may know a lot of stuff about cars. He's shaking his head no. So, okay, that makes this story even more powerful. But see, I know him as a plumber, so I'm just going to step out of the way and let him do his thing. But now that he's shaking his head no, I'm certainly not going to call him to work on my car. Right? Why? Because I know him as a plumber, and I know him in other ways, especially around the church and ministry, and I know he loves God and all this kind of stuff. But I know him as a plumber, but I don't know him as a mechanic. If I have a broken leg, I'm not going to call Brent and say, hey, Brent, would you come mend this because and help me with my broken leg? I'm not going to call him for that because he's not a doctor. I don't know him that. But God is a physician. God is my, what do you call those people? My financial advisor. Amen? Is he your financial advisor? Do you actually take advice from him on that? Right? Do you look to God to be your physician? Do you look to God to be your peace? That in the midst of all the craziness going on, he's still God. And he's God, my peace. He's my joy. He's the lover of my soul. I got to give you your assignment. Here's your assignment. This is what I want you to do this week. I want you to spend this week telling God every day that you say, Lord, I thank you that I am the apple of your eye and I am the object of your affection. It's just that simple. Why? Because I want you to start getting to know God, and God loves you. He values you. How much does God value us? He valued us so much that he sent his only son to this earth to put us back in relationship with him, and he sent his son to die on a cross so that we could come back in relationship with him. That's a lot of love. I don't know if I'd have sent my son for you. I'm just saying. I'm not God. I love my son. I don't know if I'd have sent my son to die for you. But God did. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares about us. I want you to begin to think about this week. It's been this week. Thinking about how much God loves us. Tell him. Tell him. Say, God, I thank you that I am the apple of your eye. I am the object of your affection, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. We always tell God how much we love him, right? Yeah. I need you to start thinking, and God needs you to start thinking about how much he loves you, because he loves you a lot. Amen.